my bag. I got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation. Long to hear that. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to run? Gotta take a sentimental journey. Sentimental.
All right. Well, you're not exactly going on a railroad, but the idea. I don't know if you're leaving at 7 either, but the idea is just the only traveling song I could come up with.
Oh, well. That's nice. That was from, I think that was from a 1940-type movie in the 40s.
Ah, who knows? Way back when.
I don't know.
Could have been a World War II song.
Could have been.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the rock and roll songs, because when I was in the Air Force, I was a disc jockey at the
that's
USO,
right.
But
yeah, you told me that. That had to have been fun.
Yeah, it was. I only did that to pick up girls there at the USO.
Yes, Harry, yes, yes. All
always
right.
Have an ulterior motive.
That too. Okay, let's go to guests and the first photos under Harry's name. Photos 1, Southern Patrol. Let's bring that page up, and then we'll start to walk. Are you able to see any of this, or are you really away from civilization?
No, I've got it up on my screen here.
You got the Southern Patrol pictures up?
I do indeed.
All right. Now, they are laid out in a new, well, we've done this once before. You click on the photo, and it becomes, as if magically, right before your eyes, larger. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's
imagine that.
Let's pick number one.
High tech.
Food.
Whenever I go anywhere, there's always ice cream. And the ice cream there in Bavaria and Austria, it's just incredible. I love it. So we start out with ice cream. That's not part of the tour. If anybody wants ice cream, go ahead and order it. No problem. But now, the things we're going to see here on this tour are pretty much the things we're going to be doing again this October. We leave the last Saturday, and we meet up over there the last Saturday in October. The actual dates are on the website, sharkhunters.com. Let's switch.
Before we leave the ice cream and cake, that's a big a big dollop of whipped cream in the middle, isn't it?
Oh, boy, I love that whipped cream. Yeah, that's a chunk.
Man, that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Not for you, but
yeah,
for me.
Okay. No, it's a snack, yeah.
Come on. Look at that. That is really fabulous. Wow.
And you notice the napkin there is white and blue. It's not blue and white. It's white and blue, the colors of Bavaria.
Uh-huh.
And there's my hot cup of tea, and you'll notice the fountain pen, or the ballpoint pen.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I shouldn't say anything about it, but I keep it in my pocket.
That's enough. Okay. James
so
Bond would like
it.
It
in my pocket.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Next picture.
So anyhow,
second picture.
Next picture.
On the top row.
A2. One of the days, one of the very first days, we go to a museum that's at this place. This had been an airdrome in World War I, for the Bavarian Flying Corps, and now it's a museum. And the next few pictures we look at are what we'll see in the museum.
In this particular museum?
Yes.
It's in that museum. That World War I, that's a 100-year-old building then.
Oh, every bit of that.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to go, picture number three, we're going into that museum. All right.
That's correct. Picture number three, that's one of the old World War I fighter planes. I don't know if it's probably been upgraded, because back in those days they were nothing but light wooden frames with canvas.
Almost balsa wood and tissue paper, almost.
Well, pretty close, yeah. And the even into World War II, they had, the U.S. had some planes that were covered with fabric, and then shellacked down with aviation dope, which was a kind of paint that made it stiff. I know, because I visited my Uncle Harry during the war years. No, it was right after the war years. And I noticed this one airplane and punched my finger through it.
Whoops.
Uncle Harry was not happy.
Yet. No, no.
So,
not politically correct.
In this museum, no, that's nothing I've ever been able to do. The next picture, A4. This was one awesome airplane. It could go 600 knots at least. And look at that little tiny propeller on the nose, and could go 600 miles an hour. Actually, that little propeller on the nose was its speed indicator. This is an ME-163 rocket-powered fighter plane. You see the 20 or 30-millimeter guns there in the wing roots. I think they were 30s. One of our members, Wolfgang Speta, was the first guy to ever fly one of these 163s.
Wow.
And he said it was incredible. He said he was flying through the American bombers as if they were hanging on strings, because he was 300, 400 miles an hour faster than they were.
Amazing. And you notice there's no front nose wheel. What does that look like to
right.
you? That is a skid.
Yeah, that's a skid, yeah. They had dual wheels to get them going, and that was kind of like a little rack they sat on. And as they took off, of course, the wheels stayed behind, and away they went. Germany was the forerunner in rocket propulsion.
Virtually almost,
planes.
You go look up Messerschmitt, or just look up World War II German Comet rocket fighter.
Yeah.
And these things, you'll find,
with a K.
Yeah, you'll find the YouTube videos, they went straight up. Straight up.
These things were incredible.
Yeah.
And there were other planes, of course, in that museum. We spend quite a few hours there.
Nice.
Then we click to A5. Now, we're there during Oktoberfest time, but this is not Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest is the big thing. We'll see that in a little bit. That's the big thing in Munich. It started out as the engagement feast for Prince Ludwig and whoever he was going to marry. And it was in October.
He was going
but
to marry the,
years,
the princess, Harry.
Well, he married a princess, yes, but I don't remember her name or where she was from. Was not one of our Kardashians, I know that.
Thank God.
But anyhow, all the other towns around there, and here we're staying in the town of Ingolstadt, and they have their own fair, similar to Oktoberfest, only not quite so big. So we go there, and this is one of the things you'll see. They've got games, they've got arcades, they've got rides. Naturally, they have a beer hall, and we just spend an evening there. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And if look at A6, we're still there. And the big guy with the blue jacket with two fingers in the air, he's ordering two beers. That's Evgeny. And he's ordering two beers for himself and his father, Georgi, who's in the light gray.
Or and otherwise known as Eugene and George.
That's it. They came all the way from Moscow to be with us, because Evgeny has always wanted to meet an SS veteran. And later on this patrol, he did. He took German lessons so he could speak to this German guy, whoever he was going to be when he met him. And so they both had a great time. And they've signed on again for this tour. It's 2018, so they're going to be with us again.
Remember, this is the last chance you'll all have to do this Southern tour. This is it.
Yep.
So please, I don't have to say anything about the disintegration that's going on in much of Europe. You're safe. You don't have to worry about that. Harry will take very good care of you. But
it may not be the same in
the future. If you went by yourself, you couldn't do this. You could never duplicate this on your own. This is your last chance.
No, no. A lot of the places we go, they've got the sign up there that says "Ein Gang for Bolton," which means Harry is welcome here, but nobody else. then we look at number 7. Doggone it. We got food again. That's two wurst. I don't know which kind of wurst they are, but they're sausages, and they're not chintzy with the mustard. That's mustard there, spicy mustard.
Ouch.
And you have one, oh boy, it'll light your fire. And it's really good. And then you've got that roll, which is a brötchen, and that was what I ordered that night at the same fair where, we saw Evgeny and Georgi. Then the next day,
are you saying they have no ketchup there, Harry?
Oh, sure, they got ketchup.
Oh, I hope so.
But you have to ask for the ketchup. Mustard comes with wurst. Any kind of wurst you buy, chances are you're going to get mustard.
Got
it. Called Semp.
Okay.
And it's good. It's not quite as zippy as French Poupon, but it's got a lot of zip to it.
All right.
Then the next day, we go to a museum in a top secret area, A8. Sadly, Evgeny and Georgi still cannot go with us in there because Germany and Russia are not best buddies. We have to give our passport numbers and name and address, etc., so they know that we're not terrorists or Russians.
But this is
the Messerschmitt Foundation, and you're looking there at that's the Smiling Shark, the ME-262 jet fighter, which was the world's first operational jet fighter. And it was extremely efficient. The only place they could get caught, they had a very slow takeoff and landing speed, so our P-51s would...
Rather cowardly, in my view, Harry, to wait until someone lands and then shoot them down from behind. Sorry, that's my opinion. Yeah.
But that's why they had Focke Wulf FW-190s flying top cover over the bases.
Right.
But these things... If you saw an ME-262 like this in your mirror, you don't even have time to say a rosary. It's just Lord coming.
Period, without question, the greatest fighter plane of World War II, period. And unfortunately, Mr. Hitler made an error in judgment in 1941-42 when this plane was first shown to him. And he didn't understand the concept of air superiority. He couldn't foresee the...
No, he was pretty much a land battle guy.
He wanted to make these into Schnell bombers to go over and drop a bomb on London and fly back. And by the time Adolf Galland got through to Mr. Hitler, it was too late. Now, they could have cleaned the skies with these planes.
You can't very well play the game of what if, because we just deal in history. But anyhow, you mentioned Adolf Galland. He was a member of Shark Hunters, and we were in communication with him until he died under the knife. He was doing open heart surgery, and it wasn't successful. He died. He was quite a guy, 30-year-old general, real hot shot.
A remarkable guy. And I told you the story. I got him two Walt Disney videotapes full of Mickey Mouse cartoons for him, and his wife said he loved them.
Yeah, he had Mickey Mouse painted on the side of his plane.
Yeah.
a stick figure Mickey Mouse with a cigar in one hand and a six gun in the other hand.
You know, you think about it. Think about that.
Yeah.
Culturally, look at the overlap. What are we fighting these people for? What are they fighting us for? We both like Walt Disney. Come on, there's got to be some commonality there. Think about it.
Yeah, I know. And we all went to the same churches, you know, much as we were told they were all godless Nazis. No, they were not godless Nazis. Hitler sang in the youth choir in the Catholic Church. I forget what town it was in Austria, but I was in there. Jeff
right.
Carson led us in there on one of his tours. And yeah, we roll over to A9.
The only godless participant in World War II was the Soviet Union, officially.
Yeah.
Communism. Right?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
All right. Back in, that's why Adolf Galland and so many others understood that the war was essential for Western civilization. They all knew it. Even George Patton came to know it. He said unequivocally at the end of the war, our greatest general, we fought the wrong enemy. All right? You don't need much more than that.
Look what it got him. Besides, he kept asking what happened to the $2 billion worth of gold that disappeared out of the Reichsbank after the Allies took over.
Right.
Sit down, Georgie. We're going for a ride from which you won't come back.
Well, they half-killed him in the car, put him in the hospital, and then injected him, and he was gone.
Well, they killed him, yeah, within a week. And he knew it was coming. He told that to some of his friends.
Exactly. All right. So, next picture is what are we looking at?
It's a bright red comet. MP-163.
Now, I sent you the video of that. Did you ever look at that particular one gliding? They tow
yes,
it
I
up
did.
And they let it go, and it glides right. down.
Right. Yeah. Once the rocket fuel is gone, they're going to land whether they like it or not. So they have to stay within gliding distance of their aerodrome.
Mm-hmm.
But the red one. This was not the original red one, but the first one that was ever flown in combat, Wolfgang Späthe. It was bright red like this one. And this is in the Messerschmitt Foundation, mm-hmm. which is on a top secret airbase.
Mm-hmm.
We even have to give the license plate number of the bus.
Hmm. Well, all right, great. Things that will be seen if you want to go see these things, and the chances of you seeing them are zero unless you go on this trip. Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Next up, A-10.
A-10. That is at the Zeppelinfeld at the stadium, and we're standing on the spot where Hitler used to come and make his speeches. Anybody can go there. I tell my people, don't even think about putting your right arm in the air in a joke or anything, because there's police hidden all around there, and you'll draw a lot of attention, and at best, you'll be on a plane that afternoon, minus about $3,500, and have your passport coded that you can't come back. Holger is a buddy of ours, great guy, and helps us around over there in Nuremberg, because that's where we go to the next spot after Ingolstadt and that air museum.
All right.
So that's standing there. And then 11. We're still standing there, but we're shooting out over the field where in the newscast you'd see hundreds of thousands of people, including maybe 100,000 troops, all standing in their little block formations.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Hitler made a ton of money. He didn't steal. Goering was the guy that stole everything that wasn't nailed down, but Hitler made a ton of money because to come to these rallies, you had to pay money to get in. Plus, everybody bought at least one copy of his book, Mein Kampf, which is the second biggest selling book ever in history. The biggest is the Holy Bible. The second biggest is Mein Kampf.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. But, you know, history has been modified. What can I say? We have one of his books 1943 versions, and one of our members sent it to us with his signature in it.
Nice.
I can't find it, but it's here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see those white buildings, white structures all along there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do? You get hundreds of thousands of people there drinking beer. What do you got to have? You got to have restrooms. Those were all restrooms all around the place.
Nice.
And on top of each one of those pedestals, they had an aerial searchlight. And I don't have photos of it on this array, but in the middle of the night, you know, when you have meetings going on, had a proper signal, they'd all turn on their searchlights, and they would meet, the beams would go up and meet about 2 miles in the sky, and it'd be like they're under a giant cathedral of light. It was quite a showman.
Yeah. Amazing. That's where, in World War One, the Zeppelins were docked, correct?
Right. Yeah. Right. That's
Can you imagine how big those things are? Must have been amazing.
They were huge, and that was the way the upper crust cruised across the ocean on a Zeppelin. It cost $2,000, $3,000 per person back between the wars, which is a huge amount of money. But, I mean, you dressed for dinner, you had your own cabin on these things, and it was the way to fly. Until, of course, Hindenburg blew up, and that was the end of the Zeppelin era.
Right.
I've never had a chance to fly even in the Goodyear blimp or anything, but it must be great.
It must have been.
It worked for Indiana Jones, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Next.
Our next one, 12. That's one of our people. That's Carol. And she's standing by the door at the very, very top. This is the door that only Hitler was allowed to walk through.
Uh-huh.
And he would wait down inside of this place. And we can usually get inside, even though the sign says Eingang verboten, because one of our members is very high up in the Nuremberg city government, into the Golden Room, which still has the swastikas inlaid in the ceiling.
Right. Sounds like drums to me.
It's your drums.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's secondhand, my drums. All right. Yeah, hold on a minute. We have to take a break and thank the people who make this program possible. And we'll come right back and dance through the rest of this first round of pictures with Harry as we continue in just a few minutes. Don't go away. All right, let's get right back to Harry and taking a look at our pictures. We are in the Southern Patrol Group, so pull those up. Let's pick up the pace a little bit here so we can get through all these, and then we'll move on to the next batch.
Okay.
Numeral 12. Lake 13, I think.
Okay, we did 12.
That's your friend.
Yeah.
So 13
is... She was on the tour. 13, we are standing at Zeppelinfeld, looking across the reflecting lake at the Congress Hall, Congresshalle.
Uh-huh.
This was being built to house all the offices of the Reich, all the government offices. But when the war came, of course, they had to stop. They didn't have the manpower or the material. And we'll see another picture of that in a few minutes. It's shaped kind of like the Colosseum in Rome, but you could put the Colosseum inside of this and never touch the inner walls of the Congress Hall. So it's huge.
Well, Albert Speer probably drew that up, too. He had a big scale he worked on.
Yeah, I think that was Speer. Okay, we'll move along a little quicker now, you said. Okay, A14, that is the memorial to the Luftwaffe pilots. And the only reason this wasn't destroyed as being Nazi, it was built after World War One. You'll see the Kaiser's crown up there underneath the eagle's feet. And on the left it says 1914 to 1918, and then later on they added on the right side 1939 to 1945. This was in another part of the city, but it was moved a couple of times and finally wound up here, right next to the entrance to this, where the blood ceremony was held. Go to 15 on that. Now, you remember seeing in Triumph of the Will, Hitler and Himmler and one other good guy, I can't remember, walking slowly through the huge masses of soldiers from the stadium to this place where they had the ceremony to honor everyone who fell and the blood flag ceremony where he would touch the flag with the blood of the guys who died in the beer hall putsch to the regimental flags of each group. We go there, and it's very close to the Luftwaffe Memorial. Then we go very close by, number 16, that is the backside of the Congress Hall. This was the entrance for Hitler. Hitler had his own apartments there, or would have if it had gotten finished. And it was very big, very grandiose, you know, like any large ceremonial building would be.
Harry, they had an enormous vision. I don't know who did it, Reifenstahl, Speer, but not only for pageantry, but size and scope. They just, everything was big.
Yeah, well, remember, Hitler loved the Romans. Everything was Romanesque. He referred to his troops as his legions, and the so-called Nazi salute with the right arm in the air was the old Roman salute. When two men were meeting each other, they would extend their right arm with the palm open to show they were not carrying any weapons. But that's another whole ball game. Number 17, we cannot go in here. We can only stop for a minute. I don't know if we'll be able to do that with a busload of people, but with our van, we stop, we all get out, take pictures, and very shortly the security comes running up. This was the caserna, the squadron, the division, headquarters, whatever you want to call it, of the 1st SS, the Leibstandarte Adolf Hitler. It is now the office for the immigrations, but they know that if people are taking pictures of it, they know if people are taking pictures of it, it's not for the immigrants. It's because it was the Leibstandarte.
Talk about rubbing people's face in their own history.
What can I say?
Nothing. Don't. Let me say.
That's right. Because I have to go over there, remember, and I don't want to wind up in trouble. I've never been to prison, but I'd hate it.
You've always been absolutely meticulous in how you state things, so they've got nothing on you.
Yeah, I try. I try. Okay, we look at number 18. That's the Nuremberg Castle. Beautiful place. The Nuremberg Castle is actually three castles, and to end, one belonged to the emperor, and he was rarely ever there. One belonged to the duke or knight or baron of the area, and the other one belonged to the nobleman who took care of the castle. You'll notice on the shutters, the colors of Nuremberg are red, white, red, the same as Austria. And that's because the duke or knight or whatever he was of the area during the Crusades spent all day chopping Muslims in battle. And when he got back, he was soaked in blood from head to foot, but he had a sash on. So his valet took off the sash, and his robe underneath was still white, no blood. So he had blood above where the sash was, then white where the sash was, and then blood below that. So that's how they got those colors. And that tower was built by one of those guys so he could look down on the other guys. I guess they weren't best of friends. We go there, and we visit. A very interesting place. Next,
19.
Number 19. Yep. That is the small building with the golden star. It's called Zum Goldener Stern, which means the golden star. That place first opened for business 90 years before Christopher Columbus left Europe to find the New World. It's been in business since 1914 or something like this. And we hope we can have our dinner there, but we're not sure because this is a very busy
How many
time.
Years before Columbus?
90.
So this was not a Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise.
It's not. No, it's not. And they only serve one thing there, and they serve the little Nürnberger sausages, which are about the size of your little finger, right? Extremely rich. And we've got a standing offer. Any Shark Hunters member who can beat the current Shark Hunters record, which was set by Big Steve, 42.
Okay.
And he finished off after that with a huge big ice cream sundae. I can only eat about six. They're little tiny things, but they're extremely rich.
Sounds like it would cause a heart attack before you made it to the door.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but...
Well, don't bother.
No, I'm not going to get sick. I'll let somebody else get sick.
Look at that.
Yeah, and the next picture, number 20, that's inside. These are all the pots and pans inside there where they cook all those little Nürnberger sausages. And the German potato salad is really outstanding. It's a great place. But you can tell it was built a long time ago. Mm-hmm. If you're average size guy, you have to walk ducked over. And if you're a really tall guy, you better be careful or you're going to get knots on your head. Because the ceiling's only about 5'6".
The ceiling, is that low?
Yeah, or the beams. The beams are about 5'6". Hey, remember, 500 years ago, people were short.
Right, right. Okay, 21.
So, Einen Swansick, yep. This is the Oktoberfest. This is one of the beer halls, beer tents, whatever. This is only for the Munich brewed beers. Mm-hmm. And each one has its own hall or tent, and each one features their own beer, and they have lots of food, and they all have that Oompa band. This one, Spätenbrau, means late brew. And Oktoberfest is one giant state fair. It's it's got these beer halls. It's got food everywhere. Great food. Beer, if you like beer, of course, you can only get it in the what they call a Maß. Mm-hmm. That's a mug that carries 1 liter. And there's games and there's carnival stuff, and it's huge, and it's just one hell of a lot of fun. We go early enough in the day to where we're not overrun by zillions of people. And you see the girls in the traditional dirndl dresses.
Yeah.
If they have the bow, they always have a bow on their waist. If you have a bow on the right side, I think that means that they are pagan, married, going steady, whatever. Bow on the left side means they're available, and a bow in the middle means they're a virgin. We never saw any in the middle. But I wasn't looking.
I'm looking with my magnifying glass. I don't see any.
Oh, well.
Okay, next.
They had them.
Yeah.
Next, you know what that is. That's Schweinebraten, which is roast pork, pickled with a little bit of vinegar, I guess. A lot of juice, and that giant baseball there is a foamy dumpling. And it's darn good. And the glass next to it, that's not dark beer, that's Coke. Coca-Cola.
Huh.
I don't drink beer.
Why Coca-Cola?
I was the Irishman. Huh?
Why Coca-Cola? Yeah, is that just somebody's choice of that particular plate that you took the picture of?
No, that's my choice, because I don't drink
beer. Oh, all right. But it's not
I'm
Diet Coke.
I'm Irishman.
It's not Diet Coke.
No, it's real Coke.
Good.
Real Coke.
All right.
So, that's, you know, I just don't drink beer.
Me neither.
And we go, okay, we go to 23, and there we have Georgi on the left, Evgeny on the right. Evgeny speaks excellent English, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just nice guys, really nice guys, the two of them.
Really, look it.
Yeah. And like I say, they'll be with us. They're already signed up for the tour this year.
Great.
Then from there, we head down to southern Austria, and we spend a couple days there. 24, we have a cruise on the Werther Lake, and we pass this one little mini castle-looking thing, and I'm told they used to have a reality-type show there broadcast out of this little castle. But every place you go on this lake, it's a picture postcard. You can't take a bad photo. The place is just incredible. Click on A25. Mm-hmm. That's also on this little lake.
Hmm.
That's a little church that people come from hundreds of miles around to get married in that church because it's supposed to be good luck. We hope it is.
Beautiful little place. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Now, Germany and Austria are just beautiful countries filled with history.
Yeah, you sent me about 15 pictures. Well, next time we're on, we'll look at those. And I've never seen more stunning geography, countryside. We'll get to. We didn't have enough time tonight, but we will next time.
Right, fair enough. Okay, click to 26. Now we're down in the capital of Carinthia or Carinthian. This is the city of Klagenfurt, and that is the emblem of Klagenfurt, that giant stone dragon. And the locals tell me that back in medieval days, this dragon was alive, and it roamed all over Europe. But it could only eat virgins, and when it got to Klagenfurt, the poor thing just starved to death. And the locals tell me also that if a virgin walks past, the tail will wag. But nobody can remember the last time the tail wagged.
That's true. Okay, I got an email today from somebody that is in your organization, and he has a father who was a HE-111 pilot, shot down in the war, and he's still alive. And I invited his father to come on the program, but his son says English isn't that good. But I don't really care much. He wrote, he mentioned Klagenfurt. This is interesting. He wrote, many, many thanks for the marvelous chance for Papa telling about his war experiences. His wounding, he was shot twice down over France. His adventure story, traveling home through a totally destroyed Germany. His arrival at Klagenfurt at a highly dangerous time because of the Tito assassins. These criminals kidnapped and carried off hundreds of Carinthian civilians and soldiers in uniform, even after May the 8th of 1945, and killed them all south of the Carinthian border at later what was apparently Slovenian territory. He said all of Slovenia is a mass grave for Germans. And I've been telling people for years, and there's a book out about this, about what happened to Germany after the war. Millions of Germans were massacred, slaughtered, murdered, genocide occurred from 1945 to 1953, and nobody dares talk about it.
No, no, because it's not politically correct. But as you know, we have some other irons in the fire, which we won't talk about now. But a lot of times, what I've heard from some of the old veterans, the Tito partisans, which when we meet on the mountain, they make it very clear that they remember everyone who fell in battle except Tito partisans. They will have nothing to do with their memory. These guys would tie up the German soldiers and then, using a rusty can lid, slash their throats and watch them die.
I don't even. This went on for years. okay? Mm-hmm. Years.
Yeah, because there was no protection.
No, none. A little bit more from this. My father's mother, her direct neighbor family, was visited by the Tito murderers, who carried off, as well as the father, the young son, who had come home from fighting in the Italian front. Both were never seen again. Unfortunately, our family doesn't have any documents, photos from the war years. Also, from Papa, neither during the time of his training with gliders and flying his HE-111 bomber and blah, blah, blah. So, anyway, it was bad, bad times after the war. Bad.
It was very bad, yeah. And all it proves is, you know, you shouldn't really lose a war.
I wonder if the Germans, if any of them would have surrendered under any orders if they had known what was coming. I just wonder that.
Probably they would not.
We
all know what happened to those when the Soviets came in from the east. Those were mostly the Mongolian troops, the mass murder and rape.
Look at the book, the most important book I can recommend that any of you read is called Hellstorm by Tom Goodrich. He was on the program recently. He's got a new book out called Summer 1945, after the war in Germany and Japan. Fascinating.
Yeah. He's an excellent researcher. I read the book, and I spoke to him on the phone way back. And the book is very accurate, but it's so great. And I'm a tough sumbitch. It is so graphic. I couldn't go more than about two chapters at a time, and then I'd have to put it down because it's just horrible. And what a lot of people don't know also, now we know what happened with the Soviets coming in from the east, but a lot of people don't realize down around Berchtesgaden, which is southern Bavaria, and was overseen or controlled, whatever, by France. Within the first week, the Burgermeister, the Lord Mayor of Berchtesgaden, went to the American commander and asked him to please have the Americans take over and kick out the French because there was gang rapes going on like mad there, too. You go into the old cemetery and you find lots of women's graves, all dated around early June, late May, early June, because they were being raped continuously. And so they committed suicide. It's a horrible thing.
Now this myth of the great war and the Western victors, the French and the British and the Americans. That ain't how it happened. Nope.
Yeah, and they talk about the Germans doing all this raping and stuff. No, that was propaganda. It was reverse.
That's right. It was reverse projection. Lies, and you don't have to say any more. I'll say it. We absolutely fought the wrong enemy in the war. There's no question.
Yeah, we did. No. But then again, it's the bankers. But anyhow, shut up, Harry. Back to picture number 27, Stephen and Swansea. That picture is taken about 200 feet below the ground. This is a bunker complex that we go into. This was not a World War II bunker. It's in Austria, but this was built at the time of the Cold War to keep the Soviets out, because there's lots of bunkers under there, lots of heavy guns, all pointed towards the Russian occupied sector of Austria.
Right.
And we go in there, and 28 was the high point for Evgeny. He met with this guy, old veteran from the 6th SS, and they had a great time. Russia and Germany were horrible enemies during the war, and here these two guys are getting along great. Evgeny wanted to meet somebody from the Waffen SS, and they were getting along great. So, right. Take away the propaganda. They're just people.
That's right. Yes, sir. Okay, next up we have Harry, all decked out, and that's not Queen Elizabeth.
No, that's my girlfriend. That's Herta. She's about 85, and whenever she sees me, her eyes light up. She comes running over and gives me a big hug. And we have to see Herta when we're going to go for the memorial service. If you look on my left pocket, you'll see something that looks like a little white shield.
Yep.
That shows that you've donated your €5 to the Ulrichsberg Gemeinschaft, in other words, the Ulrichs Mountain organizational group. And so everybody in my group, naturally, I buy the little medallion for everybody.
Sure.
But without it, you don't get up there.
Nice.
So, and this time will be the last time I'll be wearing my Coast Guard auxiliary uniform over there, too. I was a flotilla commander. Yeah, I know you're not supposed to wear it outside the United States, but what are they going to do, throw me out? I left some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then after this time, then I'm going to retire the uniform. We won't be it anymore. It's unfortunate because it's really great, but not so many veterans anymore.
All right. Please give this some thought. And if you've got a couple of weeks, that'll change your life and give you a perspective on history that you could never get over here. Do contact Harry and Shark Hunters. All right, we're going to pause, come back, and start with our second group of pictures. Take a look at the rest of these during the break, and we will be right back.